I was one of the fattest dudes in comedy. John Panette died. Ralphie died. So I, yeah. I slid right the fuck in.
We got to get Bert the same fucking procedure.
Well, Bert's not.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
No, Bert. You earnestly said, please do not stick. Do not stick up for him. That was like my wife. When she gets into a fight with the Starbucks lady, yeah. You do not take her side.
Yeah, exactly.
You do not. You are exactly. On my side.
Exactly.
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house.
This episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Sattva. I have been talking about Sattva for a long time, and every time I do, I get messages from people that thank me for recommending them to get a mattress that changes the way they live, changes the way they rest, changes the way they recover. You're going to sleep for a good portion of your life. Isn't that crazy? Like a huge portion of your life is just you with your eyes closed. And there's no point in doing it on an uncomfortable mattress. And a lot of people do it for years, like decades. Then they wake up one day and they're like, oh yeah, I can make this a lot better. And you can do it with our friends at Sattva, SAATVA.com/the shit. With that URL, you get $200 off any mattress of your choice. And they have elite level luxury stuff. They have memory foam. They have it all. So go to Sattva, SAATVA.com/the shit and get $200 off any mattress of your choice.
Ready in 5, 4, 3, 2.
I hated that he put attitude on that countdown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's
yeah.
News. I didn't know that.
I didn't like that he put extra flavor on it.
Okay.
Extra sauce.
You don't like that?
Oof. I liked it just when he does a straight count in.
Just straight.
Yeah.
Alba.
Yeah. I like it when it's Stein. When he's kind of bored and like unaffected by the count in.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that.
Yeah. Well,
feels like take showbiz. Notes.
Yeah. Yep. I will be deader and less alive.
Thank you. Good.
Thank you very much for paying
attention.
Thank you. Welcome to another episode of Your Mama's Place. She's Crystal, I'm Tim, and yeah, we're rolling here.
We're doing our gene thing.
We are doing our gene thing. A lot of great, great podcasts the last few weeks. Also, I wanted to point out that you said you had some Pazhitsky effects to share.
So many dumb things that I've realized along the way. Okay,
sure.
First of all, the other day, Tim, I was shopping for a winter coat. Right, we travel a lot. It is a necessity. And I bought myself a winter coat. And then I was like, that's it. All done until next year. And then I says to myself, I says, wait a minute. Why can't I get more than one winter coat? Mm-hmm. What's the problem here? I can afford it. And I realized that my whole life, because my mother only bought me one winter coat a year, because I was a kid and you outgrow them so quickly.
Yeah.
I've taken it into adulthood that I'm only allowed to have
one
winter coat. And like the last time I actually bought one was 5 years ago.
You're allowed to have more than one. That's true.
So I splurged and bought myself two different winter coats.
That's great.
Yes.
I'm happy for you.
Yes. Nadav, I bet that you, are you in the same boat?
I haven't bought any new clothes in like 5 years.
But did you know that you can buy more than one winter coat?
Have you seen my closet?
No.
I'm a big winter coat fan.
I love them so much.
They're great. It's the most, I mean, yeah, I get excited about winter clothes.
So do I. I hate summer fashion. I hate shorts. I think everybody looks dumb in shorts. They're dickhead.
Winter fashion is where it's at. Autumn fashion actually
is really where it's at. So that was my first Pazhitsky effect. And the second one is a similar one you had like a year ago.
Which was?
So I've been walking these trails here in Austin. And I walked this trail because I have to do 10,000 steps a day. And it was too short. And I was like, well, great. Now I have to go find another trail that's longer. And then...
Can I guess? You realize that you could do it again? It's good. And you could even do it again and again and again.
Yeah, it's stupid. But I was like, I got to get into the car and find another trail. This one's too short. Stupid. So fucking stupid.
Yeah. I was really, yeah.
Isn't that fucking retarded?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. I had a similar issue once with, discovery that you can do something more than once.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to just do that one track once and then you're done. Okay. I guess I'm done with fitness today.
Yeah. It's you don't have to do that.
Are you retarded?
I am.
Yeah.
So R-worded. And actually, also, I would like to bring up something that I've been thinking about for like weeks.
Which is?
I don't know if you know this about me. I don't think I've ever told you this.
Okay.
But I don't know if I've told anybody this out loud, that I will lay in bed at night and have full confrontations with people and like plan out when I'm going to, I never have them in real life.
But yeah. I think it's a very common thing.
Do you do that too?
Sure.
You plan out like, I'm going to fucking be like
conversations.
No,
yep,
dude.
Yep.
And then I'm going to show the evidence and that. Well, I've been having one with you in my head for the last like weeks, like 3 weeks now.
Weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
Now on a prior episode, you said, I was like, oh, I'm a fan of the Royals. And you go, no, you're not. You're just a fan of a TV show. And let me tell you something, that cut deep. That cut deep. And I've been laying in bed at night and I'm like, he doesn't even know how much I love the monarchy. Like, I'm an Anglophile. I lived in England. I visited Buckingham Palace in the 90s. You're yawning. You're bored out of your fucking mind even listening to me.
No, that was an accident. It wasn't because the story was boring.
Okay. I've studied the Renaissance culture of the monarchy. Like, I love
You're
them.
Saying you deserve real credit.
Yeah. I feel like you've cheapened and diminished my love of monarchy just to the crown. That's not true, Tom. I'll have you know right now, I am listening to an audiobook called The Palace Papers, which is a series of letters written in, you know, amongst the royals. And I have to tell you, I have a discovery too, a Pazsitsky effect.
Okay.
I thought that because these people were royal, that they were probably highly educated and smarter than me because they all went to Eton College or whatever the fuck, right? But turns out...
A lot of them.
They're just kind of middle of the road dullards for the most part.
Sure.
Pedophiles.
Some of them.
One, there's one that they just discovered as
guy's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the Mountbattens is a known pedophile. Okay. Mm-hmm. Diana hated him. And they're just very mediocre at best as people.
Do you know that every time my father said pedophile,
yeah,
I'd go, what's a pedophile?
And he'd go, a
guy that likes kids. And I go, that's a pedophile. And he'd go, oh yeah, pedophile. Every time, like 400 times we had that conversation.
I know.
God.
I love when he would get stuck on words. My favorite is, I'll never forget, Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, yeah. The actor,
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci.
He got really hung up on... He never changed the word, even if you told him.
Yeah, I know.
He would never be shamed into changing.
Yeah, you're not saying that right. Well, whatever.
Yeah, because you've corrected my English a few times, and I always make a note. Combative, we learned, is not correct. It's combative.
We didn't learn it.
No, yeah. We meaning yeah. me. Chewing gum is not how Americans say it. It's gum. A sun visor is not a sun visor, just a visor. True. I've learned these things from being shamed by you.
Yeah.
Humiliated.
I didn't humiliate you.
And that's how I know. Please, I want you to admit that I like the Royals. I really genuinely love the Royals beyond the show. Please, I need you to acknowledge. The 90s. I have stuff from the 90s from Buckingham Palace. The Queen's Silver Jubilee. I have a mug.
You are a genuine fan. I'll give you
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Okay. You can put your subconscious to rest now. You don't have to have that fight anymore.
I feel so much better.
You son of a bitch. Yeah.
I didn't curse at you, but yeah. I was going to rattle off my qualifications.
Sure. I get it. I've done that many times.
With people.
Yeah.
What's the last one? Do you
the
remember?
Last one? No, I don't remember.
Where you've really just been like, I'm going to sock it to him.
Oh, yeah. I've done it. Believe me, mine get real weird.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen you do it at elevators. Yeah, where you cuss somebody out. And I'm like, who are you talking to? I've seen it. Or at a stoplight. And you're like,
oh, driving, it happens a lot. Yeah,
you zone out a lot.
Zone out. Fucker. Yeah. Yeah. Here, let's start the show. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
You are the joke.
Hey, shut your mouth. Shut up. Don't shout. I fuck you right here, motherfucker. You don't know me. Don't motherfucker try to be smart ass. I fuck you right here. Motherfucker. I'll make the baby $50.
I love when foreigners curse.
I know. Because we were just talking about miss saying things, you know, and
yes.
I fuck you right here.
So good.
It's not how you say it.
It's
but
not.
It is pretty great. And if he knows what he's saying, it's even better.
Yeah.
He's going to fuck the guy right there at the airport.
Yes. I fuck you right here.
Yeah.
It reminds me so much of my stepdad.
I knew it would.
Yeah.
I fuck you right here, motherfucker.
That's how he sounded. That was his accent. Exactly like that. That subtle. And then he would say stuff like that, too.
Yeah, he's
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. I fuck your mother right here.
That's how you had the act, really?
That was
don't know me.
That's exactly the level of his accent.
What do you think happened there?
Let me see.
Because it clearly somebody is the guy that first of all, I love that the guy who's I'll fuck you right here is holding flowers. As he says
he's going
it.
To see his grandma or
but, something. But the guy that he's with is the one who got insulted. Like, you can tell he's, like, speaking, you know what I mean?
Okay, let's see.
So, she's talking to that guy, basically.
Hey, shut your mouth.
Yeah, see?
Don't shout. I fuck you right here, motherfucker. You don't know me. Don't motherfucker try to be smart ass. I fuck you right here. Motherfucker, I'll make the baby $50. You're a motherfucker, you are. You are respect yourself.
You're a fucking Pakistani asshole.
That guy at the end's great. Fuck you too, man.
Yeah.
But I see, I think they're yelling at the guy that's on the, I mean, I have to like pull it up to.
He's yelling at the other guy.
I think he's yelling at that guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And he's kind of shielding him. The guy with the flowers is kind of shielding that guy. Right. It's almost like they're all surrounding him, like he's the
guy.
He's the top dog or something, you know? And see? That guy just keeps going with his group. This guy stays behind, like, you don't talk to him like that.
Yeah.
I think he's defending that guy.
Yes, I think you're right.
But I wonder if it's like old country beef, you know what I mean? Like if this is back from the homeland or what's going on there. I wish I knew this full story.
Like either, but the guy fighting with him, does he have an Indian accent as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. So this is old country beef.
Yeah.
They know each other from back in the day. And he's like, you fuck us. That's what my mother used to say, fuck us. It's not even a word.
The best is he also yells, don't shout.
Yeah.
Like the guy yells
don't
and he's like,
shout
don't shout.
Me.
Don't shout.
He shouts, don't shout.
Yeah. I love it. God, I love foreigners cursing.
Motherfucker tried to be smart ass.
Motherfucker tried to be smart ass. Yeah. I wish there was an Instagram account just dedicated to foreigners cursing in English.
It's fantastic.
It's my favorite thing because it's always just a cunt hair off.
Yeah, just off just a little
bit. Just by one little word.
I fuck you right here is my new favorite thing. I might say that to somebody in real life in an argument. I fuck you right here.
I fuck you right here.
What do you say?
I love it.
I'll fuck you right here.
You gotta do that to heckler when they pop off.
Sure.
In one of your big ass arena shows.
I'll fuck you right here.
Could you imagine?
She's not coming back from that.
Could you imagine a heckler having the audacity to heckle you at an arena show? Like 13,000 people and yeah. some motherfucker pops
it
off.
Happens.
And then you shame that fool in front of fucking 12,999 other motherfuckers. Yeah, That's happens. Insanity.
It is crazy. We've had some, I mean, we've had a lot of great shows. We've had some shows that have just an exhausting amount of drunks. It's no different. It's no different than when you do clubs. You know, you work clubs for years.
Yeah, you're like, one day I'll get to a theater.
Yeah, and then you get to the theater and it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, same yeah. shit, different toilet.
Now, it's less frequent. I mean, a lot of times the audiences are all, you know, I think the setting has something to do with it. A theater setting kind of makes you sit up a little bit straighter.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, it can happen. It can happen. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I took Bobby Lee to Canada a few weeks ago. It was fucking unbelievably fun.
Yeah.
My crew had never met anybody like that in their life, though. They were all like, this guy's out of his fucking mind.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, your boy's crazy. He's crazy.
And it's real. I think.
Yeah, it's genuine.
You know, everybody asks me, like, is so-and-so real? Are they that way off mic? And it's like, most of the time.
One night we get back to the hotel. We get back late. We were staying in Toronto, but we're playing outside of Toronto because I did Toronto a month ago. So now we're playing London and Kitchener, and we get back late. It's probably 1:30, 2 in the morning. I don't know. Yeah, probably around 2 in the morning. So we're all like, let's go to bed. I'll see you tomorrow. We're leaving the next day. Yeah, this was after Kitchener because the next day we did London. And the next day we decided to go to London early. It's a longer drive. So we're like, let's leave at noon and then we'll get there and we'll have a few hours chill, so we won't be rushed. When we get on the bus, I'm like, how you doing? He goes, I haven't even slept 1 hour.
And what?
I go, what are you talking about? We got back at 2 in the morning. It's noon. He's like, well, the kitchen was closed in the hotel and they start serving at 7 breakfast. So I just waited till 7 to get breakfast.
Stop.
And then I went to bed at 9 and I go, are you being serious right now? And he was like, yeah. I can't go to bed hungry. Okay. Like he does a genuine thing. He's like, how am I supposed to go to bed hungry? I'm like, you couldn't have found some other option for food? Kitchen was closed. Okay. So yeah, I'm tired. So he was on 1 hour sleep.
Oh my God.
Shit like that.
Was he crabby the whole day?
No.
Because you know Bobby, when he gets crabby and then he turns off.
The slept king needs to sleep. But yes. He was, and here's the thing. He was like, he gets nervous. He's like, if this crowd doesn't know me, I'm just dead. I'm dead in the water. I'm just dead. I was like, you're going to be fine. He's like, no, I'll die. I just want you to know that I'm trying my best. Okay. And I'm like, shut up. Every show I announced him was fucking pandemonium.
Of course.
Like,
I love
it. It was fucking wild. You want to see his walkout? I can send it to you. I brought him on stage. Every show, like I announced him, you know, back from backstage. But I got one of the good ones. I got a few of the good ones, actually. I had Sean record it. It was fucking wild how crazy they went.
And did he register it? Because you know how Bobby will.
Yeah, he would diminish it a little bit.
Right.
Because that's just his instinct.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he, he had a couple really fucking amazing ones.
That's good.
And it was fun. It was fun to.
He's so funny. I really hate that he thinks he doesn't have a good show. It kills me because he's so funny.
Yeah,
he always crushes at the store.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
He is a murderer. He's super funny.
And he was actually like, just so people know, like super thankful, very appreciative, like a real grown up about it. But then he would, you know, weird out like the crew and stuff with all his antics. You know, he's fucking super crazy.
He's super crazy. Do you know the first time I figured out Bobby Lee was crazy was like the beginning of my comedy career, maybe like year two or three. I'm at the Comedy Store talking to him.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, do you ever take Elmer's glue and then put it on your legs and just peel it off? I'm like, no.
Yep. He told me a couple things that he made me swear to secrecy that I wouldn't tell. Mm-hmm. And I'll respect that. But he's wild.
Yeah.
Which one? Is that the short one first?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is just us pre-show, right? Like he's just being nervous here, like backstage.
Freaks me out.
I tell him the crowd size and you get nervous.
Dude, I put a Sacramento punchline, man. 150, dog. You know what I mean, bro?
Yeah, I love you.
He was nervous here, but he. This was that was in Hollywood. There was 8,500 people at this show.
Oh my gosh.
And then I think the next one is me announcing him on that same show, and you can just look at the reception he got. I gave him a real good intro. I did like a fight announcer. Listen to this. Look at this reception he gets. Look at this psycho walking around the stage.
Elliot is loving it.
I mean, they went crazy.
He's such a man.
It's great. It
his
great.
Hair looks great. Long.
It's wild.
Yeah, it looks good. It should stay his look.
How you doing?
He murdered. He murdered.
Of course
murdered.
He did. He's a professional comic.
Yeah.
He is so funny, dude. That hair, he needs to keep this long hair. I like this look.
That lion's mane?
Tell him.
Yeah.
Next time you see him. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good time, man. I'm glad you brought him. I'm glad you.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with
kept
him.
Your word on that. I remember he didn't believe you back when we were in LA.
He believes me now.
He believes me now.
Yeah.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I have something really massive to share with you.
Okay.
He jacked off in 4 strokes.
Go ahead.
You have to look at me when I tell you this.
Okay.
Because I don't think you're going to fucking comprehend what I'm telling you.
Okay. Tell me.
So. This story came from our mutual friend, Rob Eiler.
Okay.
Who has an acquaintance who wakes, and this person's a sensible human being, has a steady job, is not mentally ill. Just normal, a mortgage, a car, the whole deal. This human being wakes up in the morning, eats breakfast, gets ready, goes to the gym, comes home, eats again, and then brushes his teeth for the first time. For the first time. Did you understand?
Why does he do all this? Why? Why is that his choice, though?
Well, that's the thing. This person doesn't think it's a big deal to not brush first thing. It's
no, but not only not first thing, leaves the house.
And goes to the gym, eats, comes home, eats whatever, and then brushes first time.
It's revolting.
And this is a sensible human being. This is a sensible person. This isn't some stray dog. Do you understand?
I understand.
I mean, I heard it and my mind was totally blown.
Yeah, I guess I've now accepted that there's a huge chunk of the population like this now. I didn't know that either. And then, you know, when I talked to Bert and Leanne about it, they were like, yeah, you know, get up, have coffee and fucking eat and then brush later. And I was like, oof.
What?
I can't believe that somebody would take their morning mouth to their kitchen
well,
and not want to clean that up. And they're like, what if things taste different? You're like, I don't know, rinse your mouth out with some water.
Well, just for the record, I wake up, I brush my teeth
first. Of course.
First.
That's sane. That's what normal people do.
First. Then I drink coffee, and then I brush my teeth again.
Yeah.
After the coffee, so I don't ruin everybody's day around me.
That's normal stuff.
And then I'll take a shit, exercise, eat, and then brush again, because I don't want breakfast mouth.
Yeah,
you understand?
All that is normal. I think that's normal.
Yeah.
I think it's really gross that people don't wake up and try to cleanse their mouth. I think it's such a natural instinct. It's literally like taking a shit and then being like, well, I'll clean it up later. You know, I got other things to do.
So it 100%
is. I guess you could, you know, and they're like, yeah, I mean, first of all, it's just going to cake onto the inside of my ass cheeks and I can just clean that up later. All right, go ahead, man.
But to also go to the gym.
Yeah.
With a foul morning mouth.
Well, you know, when I get back, I'm going to sweat there. So might as well wipe my sweaty ass when I get home, you know?
I just can't, and this person's attractive. Like, really? I can't imagine, do you know what I mean? Like, they're a good-looking fella.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine meeting, like,
there's a lot of people that have met him that they remember him for another reason.
I'll right, that's yeah. what I'm saying. So you're at the gym, and you're like, oh, there's that handsome fella. Let me talk to them.
Sure.
And then that.
Yeah. I mean, he's lost opportunities, for sure, with
has
that.
Has to have.
For sure.
Do you know more people? I'm sure now they're going to come out of the woodwork.
Well, they already did. That's what I'm saying is that when we first discussed that about when they brush, we got so many people weighing in on like
on two bears.
I think it was there, and then yeah, and then we just basically it was eye opening. I didn't know that people wait. It seems like such an immediate instinct because you wake up and your mouth, you feel it, taste
it's disgusting.
Yeah, you're like I've slept with my mouth open or closed or whatever, and now it needs a refreshing kind of.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that people wait.
I am appalled that anybody leaves their house, does a thing,
yeah,
comes back, and then thinks that's acceptable.
And then there's, you know what I've learned doing this show? There's all kinds of different people out there.
Yeah. Everyone's the same.
Everyone has a different
strokes.
I mean, look, here's a different person.
I'm not your average male. Hobbies and interests and goals. Part 11. Now, I have an interest in sex. I like sex.
What?
I enjoy sex and I intend to have lots of it when I end up in a relationship again. Whether I'm married or not.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm good at it. So good at it that I was once in my younger days offered to go work for porn industry.
Wow.
First of all, that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And made up, but awesome that happened.
I didn't realize what a stud this guy is.
I mean, he'll tell you himself.
Kind of like didn't work out for me, didn't like it, so I turned it down.
Oh, wow.
But
okay,
I'm good.
Yes.
I know I'm good.
I believe you, security.
He is.
And I know I'm good because every woman I've ever slept with has always said to me, I won't do this, I won't do that, I won't do that, 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 that. But as soon as I have sex with them, that goes out the window.
Whoa.
Wow.
This dude is fucking rad.
What's his handle? I got to reach out.
They're like, tie me up, paint me, put chocolate syrup on me, eat ice cream off me, dominate me, discipline me. You know, I don't care. I'll fuck you, my sister. I want a threesomes, orgies. I want to swap partners.
Oh, wow.
I want you to gangbang me with your friends. When women have sex with me,
yeah,
they lose their inhibition. They forget about right and wrong when what they think is appropriate in society, and they lose their minds.
I think I'm losing my mind already.
They literally give into their primal instincts and the sheer pleasure of what I'm giving to them.
Jesus Christ.
They
man.
Have fallen asleep because of how many organs I give them. You know, they want all kinds of naughty things to happen to them.
Oh.
The timing of this, you just can't.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, this is when he decided to start picking his nose.
Wow.
And even though I'm good, I intend to be better.
Wow. Sure.
Why? Because I like it when a woman is enjoying herself in the bedroom, not faking it. I know the difference between faking and not faking.
Oh, it looks like you've been tricked a few times.
And I love it when she loses her mind. I'm into all kinds of freaky shit. BDSM, role play, orgies, threesome, swap partners, pegging, oral sex, painting, food sex, you know.
Wow.
There is nothing in the kink level I won't do.
Damn. Still got that. He's got that snot dripping out of him. Still.
Yeah. Well, that's how sexually activated he is. That it's just like he doesn't have time to control fluids.
It seems like you may have forgotten some of the stuff that he mentioned, right? There's so much information.
There's
like
so much information.
Maybe it would help if we chopped it up.
That's so silly.
Yeah. He's got the sniffles.
He does have the sniffles.
He's working at his security job right now.
No, I know.
As he does this
the
video.
The best part. Well, he makes the ladies feel secure.
Would you give him a shot after?
Of course, babe. Didn't you hear what he has to offer?
But I'm saying, would you not? Because I feel like you're joking right now.
What do you mean joking?
Would you give him a shot?
Found
would you give
the
him
world's
a chance?
Greatest lover. Of course I'm going to give him a chance. I said a shot. A shot is a chance and a shot.
Yeah.
Of course, babe. He's the world's greatest.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Would you give it to him?
I mean, if I were a woman, I feel like after a video like this, you know, you got to give him a shot.
You got to give him a shot.
Yeah, you're going to lose your inhibitions. You're going to have the time of your life. You're going to take a nap because you have so many orgasms.
Yes. It's so interesting how the guys like this, the braggadocious type, like I wonder what's really, what numbers.
I have to imagine that the real best lovers don't talk like this, you know?
Get it out of them. You can't get it out of them.
I think so too. I mean, I don't know. But I think they probably are pretty, they probably just look at you and you know, like.
Yeah, they fuck.
This guy knows what he's doing.
This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. This is a cool video. Thanks for showing me.
Well, I figured it, you know.
He seems really humble and just like, he's into everything. Is there anything he isn't into?
He's into all of it.
All of it. Yeah. All the, he brings up food a lot, which to me, I think is just so messy and sticky and gross. It's not for me personally.
Well, we'll find out.
Fuck this guy?
Well, you can do that. Actually, that would be incredible research for the
show.
You
know what he didn't bring up?
Yeah.
Bus fucks. Which we know me in the back of the bus. He didn't even bring up bus fucks.
Well, can you imagine? That's you before you've met him. Imagine what you would do after you've been with him.
I'm already a wild dog.
Yeah.
I mean, what he talks about too is fairly pedestrian. No, like, I'm into whipped cream, food, BBL chocolate. It's like listening to a seventh grader talk about sex, you know?
Do you like chocolate?
Yeah. He's talking like he's 13.
Yeah. Well,
it's so silly.
Hey, if any of you out there have fucked him, let us know. We'd love to hear the details.
Are you guys going to fuck
It would be him? Awesome if someone check around and she goes, I know this is going to sound crazy.
But really?
This guy can fuck. This guy blew my goddamn.
Oh, that's Marcus. Yeah. He fucks.
Oh, the security guy? At that warehouse? Yeah. That guy can fuck. Let me tell you. I didn't know the shit I liked until I met him. Well, you never know.
All right,
let's take a quick break.
Okay.
I almost got attacked by the Bloods.
What?
Because I thought LA, I thought it was nice. You
what
know
year
what
were
mean?
You there?
97, 98.
Oh, yeah. You were still there during.
And I was rollerblading on the aqueducts. I had these cool little German rollerblades. Uh-huh. You could take the little blades off and it'd be sneakers. So you could go get a sandwich and then pop back out and do your shit.
Uh-huh.
And I would go all the way to the beach, Marina Del Rey, I think it was. And one day I was coming back and there was this little kid. And he saw me and he pulled a red bandana up like a bandit and then ran down under the highway where you have to go, where the aqueduct goes. So as I'm coming down the hill, it was just 14 little bandits with all red.
Fuck.
And I was like, oh, fuck me. But I was just like, boom. And I just went right through them.
And oh my God.
They were looking at me like, what the fuck is, like,
what is this? Yeah.
This guy has tattoos. He's bald. It's like this tub of shit just rolled blast with confidence.
Yeah.
And then I went up the other side and there was one kid at the end, as he saw me, he was like, oh, this guy's a pussy. And he went like this and I went, eh. Yeah. And then I was just fast as I could, went up the hill and just scooted home.
What got you through that, I think, is that you started with confidence. You know, if you had been like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah.
It changes.
No, as soon as I did the don't sit on me, like sit on me, you're on a bus and you don't want that seat taken.
Yeah, yeah.
I just did this.
Yeah.
I put a mean mug on and I went right through them. Meanwhile, I was playing, I think it was REO Speedwagon on my headphones. It was
super masculine.
Like,
super
I heard it from a friend who. I remember that going in my ear, and then these kids were coming down. It was like some weird movie.
But that's the New Yorker in you. that instinctively knew how
that's
to
the Boston.
Avoid. Oh,
that's the Boston.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Boston. From when I was
just.
Yeah, when I was in, because when I was a kid, Boston. I mean, Boston was.
It was rough.
Boston had white slums. Like, people don't think of Boston, but Boston was white slums. Like, you know, Charlestown and Southie, and you know, even where I grew up, Medford. It was bad. Like Somerville, which is now like Brooklyn.
Mm.
When I was a kid, I remember I got beat up when I was 13 by four men, like men. Like fathers, like you could tell they had sons.
When you were 14?
13. 13. It was our fault. We went into the Somerville Projects at like 12 at night to get weed, me and my friend Frankie. And we just stumbled in and we were like, hey, you got weed? And he was like, you heard the kid go, yeah. Oh yeah, come on over here, kid. And we followed him. We bought this weed. And he was like, you want to smoke it with us? And we were like, no, we're going to smoke it later.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, we're going to wait. And he was like, okay. And we went up to the top of this pyramid. There was a playground at the top of the pyramid. And we just, well, let's smoke up here in the middle of the projects at 12-something at night.
Shit.
So we're smoking. All of a sudden, these four guys come up with this kid that sold it to us. And he was just like, you going to smoke it with us now? And Frankie was like, no. I'm like, yeah, let's just be friends.
Sure.
And they beat the shit out of us so bad. They just kicked me. My nose was all bloody.
Jesus.
Frankie was bleeding internally. And I felt bad because they were like, leave me alone. He's not bleeding. Keep kicking him. So they were kicking him, but his liver was, his kidney was dying. And, but I was like, hey guys, I was like, you know, as long as they're being friends with me, I was like, you know, what's up? And they start. It's weird too, because it was almost this weird thing because they started talking to you. So where are you from?
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Oh, I'm from, you know, South Medford. Oh yeah, you know Johnny? Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. He is a good guy. You got to tell him I said hi. All right, I'll tell him you said hi. So like Frankie's getting the shit kicked out of him.
Holy shit.
But we're having this weird conversation.
And it's grown men.
Grown men. And then he hit me right in the gut, punched me in the gut, knocked the wind out of me. And I fell to the ground. And then they just left. And then me and Frankie, like I remember we were walking out. We had to climb a fence. And I was so proud. I was like, Frankie, it was like a pony boy moment. Yeah, I was like, I didn't cry, Frank. Yeah, and he was like, good for you, kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just crazy shit.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Wait, we didn't even get in, but let's do this.
Did we start?
Yeah, we just started. Yeah, because your story was actually so good, they just started rolling. We were going to, but you told too good of a story. No, it's
fine. Mean, you guys are very easy to talk to.
That's a good sign.
I didn't see my therapist this week. And you guys have therapeutic tone.
Yeah. Oh, no, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, I just opened
good.
Up.
But let's properly introduce.
That's your mom's house. You didn't know.
His new special, Killbox, is available now at louisck.com. It's Robert Kelly, everybody.
Yay!
Let him hear it.
Yes. So funny.
We've never,
so funny.
I think we've done that twice in 10 years. Where I just look at him and then he just starts, he hits the timer. He's like, it's a good story. We always introduce people first, but that was too good of a story.
Okay, yeah. No, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, hey.
You guys are very therapeutic, though.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. Congrats on the special, first
Thank
of all.
Thank you, buddy. I'm so happy about
and
it.
And you and Louis have been longtime friends. So,
yes, lovers.
Lovers.
Yeah, there's all this.
I knew
it. And lovers.
But the special you shot, where did you shoot? Because I think I saw a little behind the scenes thing.
We shot it in St. Pete. Tampa.
Okay.
It was either going to be Boston or St. Pete. Because, you know, I never shot it. I shot one in New York, but I never shot one in my hometown.
Sure.
But Florida, during the pandemic, you know.
They were about that life. They're like, come on now.
Dude, they saved my life.
Yeah, of course.
My
yeah.
number one best friend, Mr. Mike Calta.
Of course I know. Yeah, Cowhead.
I love you.
Yeah.
He was like, dude, come down here. And all the clubs gave me love. And you could go down there. And there was... I mean, just sold out, packed up shows with like one person with a mask on. And it like helped me because I lost 55 shows.
Oh, it was
in one night.
Yeah.
I remember my agent, Matty Frost, called me up. He's like, dude, they're
Frosty?
All gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Frosty.
Of course.
And he was like, yeah, they're all gone. It was the first time in my career, you know, you work so hard to, you know, I'm a club comic.
Yeah.
You know, I've done theater tours, I've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I make my bones at these clubs.
Of course.
And it was the first time I had the Creeps with Kids tour. that I started.
That's an amazing title.
It was me, Ron Bennington. It was,
I love Ron Bennington.
He is not only one of the greatest, coolest cats in the business, he's also a hammer on stage.
So funny. Oh,
so Rich Voss, a legend.
Yes.
And Jim Florentine. The whole concept was, we all have kids, we're all creeps, but we're great dads.
Yeah.
We're so great parents, right? Yeah. And Ron Bennington's nuts because he would get a standing O. I had a closer, so I had to follow his standing O every night. Yeah, look at how great was that.
That's a fun tour.
I mean, that was a fun tour. We had a blast. We did a thing at the end where we all went up and Ron would talk about parenting and people from the crowd would ask us stuff. We brought our kids out.
Oh.
Voss brought his girl out. I brought my kid out. Ron had his, his daughter out who he does a show with.
And this was going like through 2020?
I talked to my agent. I go, I want to do this tour. He's like, I'll get you one show. If it's successful, great. We did one show, sold it out. Then he got us like 16 shows at theaters. It was like taking off. It was beautiful. Plus hanging with those guys.
Yeah, it's the most fun.
Being on the road by yourself is probably the most depressing thing in the world. And when you go walk in and there's no heavy lifting, you just go in and do 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's great. And we did it and it was great. And then the stupid, God hates me. And he released the pandemic on everybody and he doesn't want to make me, in this life, God I don't get to me. Go all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the next life.
But so then Florida was your saving grace.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, Florida saved. So we went there and we did it. And Louis's the best because, whatever the reason, I don't know the reason. I'd like to come up, but whatever. The Netflix, all those people, no, we're good.
Yeah.
And even my last special, everybody said no. So me and my manager, Jim Serpico, he was like, let's just do it ourselves. We did it, and then they bought it. It was great. But it was 5 years. I did a show at Louis somewhere, and he's like, do you have a special? I'm like, no. He's like, why don't you have a special? I go, dude, I don't have a special. I can't. I have a kid, I have a house, and blah, blah. I can't just go drop whatever and roll the dice on myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, hon, let's take a mortgage out and see if it works.
Sure.
And then it doesn't. And then we're living back in Boston, and I'm getting the shit kicked out of me and the Somerville project
at the
again.
Top of a hill?
Yeah, forget it.
I'm going to start selling ass pussy in Somerville.
So he incurred the cost of it?
He goes, I'm going to do it.
Nice.
He goes, I'm going to do it. Now, the problem is, not the problem, but the thing that came up, he's like, what do you want to do it? I go, same, let's do it in Florida. And then he goes, okay, great. Tell me what you want. And we were talking about it. I go, I don't want to do a theater. I want to create this like Elvis' 68 special, where he's doing all this stuff. But he was like, no, let's go in, make this 10 by 10 square. And he's just going to come out. And everywhere you look, there's people just, holy shit.
Yeah.
So that's what we like, when you go into a small room and you're just murdering.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the laughs are just coming.
So fun.
That kill box of a room. There's certain rooms that are like that. The Cellar in New York is a kill box. It's just, you feel better than you are when you come off there. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we created that thing. And then there was the option of just, doing it and making a lot of money, doing it for 12 grand, getting five cameras, hiring some local dude, get a comedy club for nothing. And just, we'd make a ton of cash. And we had that conversation. I was like, I just want it to be special. I want it to be this. We came up with this concept. Let's see if and he was like, we're doing it. Great. So he gave all his money. I gave a little tiny bit because that.
Yeah.
But it was great. But it's weird. We sold it out in 5 minutes, two shows.
Wow.
Which, I don't know, you ever get shocked at like when you sell, when you put something, you're like, people really like me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. That's, I think, every comedian's inner dialogue.
If you don't have that, I think you're a mental patient.
I think so too.
Right?
God. Yeah. Or if you really enjoy listening to yourself, then you're like, this person's crazy.
Yeah.
Editing your special, nuts. There's nothing worse than like taking the notes and editing your special. Like, oh my God, like watching yourself.
I watch 5 minutes of it and I call
walk out of the room
and I go, I can't.
Barf. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, this is bad. I'm so, yeah, I almost apologize. Like, we should call this off. Like, but he put it together and the Coastal Creatives is crazy. It's just an open space down there that lets you create whatever you want.
Oh, that's cool.
And they came in and they helped us do it. And they were unbelievable. So we did this thing. We get the whole night. It's sold out. We're ready to go. I walk out on stage. 20 minutes in, I'm like, I'm doing it. Like, you're in your head. I'm like,
yeah.
Dude, I'm doing it. Like, you get that little thing where you kind of tell a joke and you take a sip and you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I hear, help her. I'm like,
oh no.
And then I, help her, please. I'm like, what? I look, there's this lady. And her husband's like, please help her, Bobby. And I'm like,
what?
I tell dick jokes. Like, so I go, here's my water. Give him my water. And they shut the whole show down.
Oh, no.
And I mean, lights come up, chairs on the stage. This poor lady, I'm like, oh my God, my heart is.
She having a seizure?
I don't know. I'm asking questions. Is she a diabetic? He's like, no, I don't know. And like, he's panicking because his wife. And then I step off stage. I'm just looking at the stage from a distance, and I see all the fans and the lights are up and chairs on the stage. I went from just killing it to just my eye hurted. I started to hurt because I got an instant eye headache from the stress.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm like, it's over.
Right.
You know, the first show of a taping, when you're doing two, is the one you're supposed to get.
You get it, and then you go, you know, yeah.
And then you chill. Go have fun, Bob.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's done. And then I see they're dragging this woman past Louis.
No.
And Louis, like, looks at her. As soon as she's, like, an inch past him, he goes, we're good.
True comedian.
We're good. Yeah. We're good. As soon as she's like out, like she's not our problem anymore.
Yeah.
We're good, man. Yeah. And I'm like, I got an eye headache. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to reboot this. So I, you know, you gotta go up, you comic, you're like, yeah, I guess I'm really killing whatever you say.
Yeah.
I start, you know, I don't want to trash her, but she did just ruin my special because her blood sugar, whatever. Take your pill, have some water, walk.
Yeah, do something, lady.
Do something, don't sit front row if you're not healthy.
God.
But anyways, she lived. Her husband sent me a thing on DM.
Oh, that's good.
She lived, she did live. But I'm up there, I don't know if a woman just died and they replaced the people with new people.
Oh my
God. So my head's just like, I'm shot. So I'm, you know, you're a cop, you know, your muscle memory, fuck, let's go. We do it. I walk off. I'm in my head.
Yeah.
And clear the dressing room. My eyes hurting. Louis comes back, you know, Louis energy, you know, hey man, we got it. I think we got it. And I'm like, dude, I don't think we did. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nah, man, you were killing for 45 minutes or so. I'm like, it's an hour special, like in my head.
Yeah.
He wound up going, listen, man, Martin Luther King once said, and he gave me some speech, and that didn't work. And then he said, let me tell you something. John F. Kennedy, went to John F. Kennedy, JFK.
Yeah.
That didn't work. I swear to God, I'm still holding my head. Then he held up a Tom Brady inspirational video. That fucking worked.
That worked?
TB. Dude, it was some, they didn't believe in me.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't think I could do it.
Yeah.
I wasn't fast enough.
Sixth round draft pick.
Oh, dude. You know which one I'm talking about?
I know what you're doing.
Dude, that filled me with so much hope.
I was like, I can do this.
I stood up and we went out the next show and crushed it. And, you know, because the whole thing was, because I had a whole other thing I was working on about like food addiction. Yeah, he's like, I don't want that shit. I want just murder. I want you to just kill, like you're in a club for an hour. And that we got it. We did it. The next
thank
show I
God.
Got it.
That's awesome.
And thank God.
Well, congratulations.
Yes.
It is always awesome to like have one, like that feeling when you got it and it went well and it's out. It's like, it's a great accomplishment. It really is. People put them out a lot, but it doesn't diminish like how awesome it is to have a new special that you're proud. It sounds like, you know, you're proud of it. Like you should be.
I am.
And now everyone has to watch it to see what it was like for you to see if you're rattled or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would love to get that footage because we have the footage. There's a couple things that happened. Like when I first walked out, they were like, Robert Kelly, Mike Calta, like introduced me, his band, his Tampa band. It's a bunch of chubby dudes.
Yeah.
You know, with shirts with sayings and True Religion jeans, big white seams going down. They're the best.
Yeah.
I love them. Just wow, you ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Robert Kelly. And then the camera comes down and this drunk blonde walks by At that moment, she went to the bathroom. She wanted to go back to her seat. She went, sorry. And I was like, I want to murder her. I think we have that.
That's fucking fantastic.
You have to, I just went, ugh. As I'm, that's my only. And then I got on stage and my, I was 50 at the time.
Yeah.
I'm 51. I'm 52. I wore Nikes. Like, I have to wear New Balance. I have plantar fasciitis and I got a bad knee.
Yeah.
Plus, back then, I was 350 or 3-something, right? So as soon as I get on stage, you know, like a Nike is like a flat, like a high heel. It's a man's high heel.
Uh-huh.
This little thin shoe with flat. It's just my knee gives out. It pops out. So when I go on stage, there's like all this stuff. And then this lady dies. It was crazy.
That means it's a great special.
The special is available at LouisCK.com. Sorry. Yes, LouisCK. It's called Killbox. You got to get it. Go get it right now.
Every time I've taped something, the first one during halfway through my hour, somebody kept flushing the toilets over and over. Like someone was taking a shit and couldn't get the shit down. And then it was like, whoosh, whoosh. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking.
That was in Seattle.
Yeah. The second time I was about 8 months pregnant shooting in Vegas.
Oh, that one's crazy.
And then the stage door almost fell on me.
It
fell and it was right next to me and I'm pregnant.
That was crazy.
And then what happened on the last one? Oh, I did it in New York City at the Gramercy and the warm-up show the night before. I was like, man, I sold this shit out in like 5 minutes. Same thing. Oh my God, this is going to be hot. Nobody came.
Why?
COVID, whatever, what have you. And I was panicked.
Like, yeah, it was sold tickets,
I'd sold out the show.
They were just supporting you monetarily?
They bought it so far in advance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like months and months and I don't know. So I was like, no one's going to show up to the taping the next day. What the fuck? So we were scrambling. I mean, they did, but.
Oh, good.
But that's good. I think that's good because it keeps you grounded. It keeps you present in a way. Because imagine if you didn't have like bullshit.
Yeah, I would have done way better. I would have had a way better special. No,
I know. But the bullshit is good.
They wouldn't have added so much.
When I did my first special in Minneapolis, we go out afterwards. You know, we do the two shows and they're like, you have a special. And I'm sitting with like the producer and my manager at the time. And we're all sitting around and they're like, you want to know something crazy we didn't tell you? And I go, yeah. They're like, we couldn't give away tickets for people to see this. And I was like,
really? That is such a shitty thing to say.
Thanks for telling me.
And they're like, we were trying to find people to fill the seats with.
Who is this?
And I was like, cool. I was like, but there were people there. They're like, I know, but it took a lot of work. And I was like, I'm glad you waited till afterwards. I am glad you have that instinct.
Could you imagine being married to that guy? You want me to tell you something? Yeah, this chick was going to suck my dick. But I said, no, put it away. I don't want that to happen because I love you so much.
You're my love.
But is that, do they train agents and managers to be shitty like that? I feel like they train them because... Then you'll, like, you'll sell out a big venue and they'll be like, but you know who really sold this?
That happens to this day.
And you're like, fuck you.
I fucking just did an arena.
Yeah.
And literally they were like, do you know who did three of these arenas? I'm like, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Like two other guys, you fuckhead.
Why are you telling me this?
God.
I had Matt, I've been with the same agent my whole career. Unheard of. I love this guy. Just for laughs. First time I did it. I got a gala. I don't know what a gala is.
But yeah.
He goes, you got to wear a suit. I'm like, dude, I don't even own a suit. You got to wear a suit, dude. You got to look good. So I went and spent all my money that I made at Just for Laughs on a custom suit from that mall.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not a good suit, just that mall.
Yeah.
So I went in, they fit, but I was chubby at the time too. So it wasn't like a good fit, but they did the best they could in a couple of days. And I remember, was it Kevin Hart was on it when he was, you know, whatever. And, they were telling me, don't swear, you can't say this, can't say that. Kevin Hart went on, baby shit, fuck it, suck it, baby, my baby shit on me, I shit on my baby and I shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what about that? And they're like, he's cute when he does it. I'm like, I was like, he is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was very cute when he was saying it.
Sure.
So I got to be clean, I'm in a suit.
Oh God.
I have this one bit. Where it's about, you know, you need New York City hallways. They have those railroad hallways where the hallway's long.
Yeah.
And I had one. And you can't fight with your girl when you have that hallway. Because by the time you get to the end, you've made up.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck you, I hate you, dude. And I walk.
Yeah.
And like, you're an asshole. You started it. Well, I didn't know. All right, I love you too. But, you know, then you, but I got to walk. So I'm doing the bit and it's just bombing.
Uh-huh.
as I'm walking. So I walk all the way back to the back of the stage, and I got to walk in silence back to the front. It almost hurt my ears.
Yes.
3,000 people just going,
oh, God.
And I walk back to the front, and I grab the mic. I'm like, hey, right? So I walk off. Matty Frost goes, you look good. Dude, you look great.
You look very nice in your suit.
Good. The suit looked good.
Jesus. It's funny how you can feel other people. Like when someone says they're bombing, you immediately internalize it.
I know it.
I feel it so much.
I've eaten shit such important thing. I remember eating shit for my Live at Gotham set. Yeah. I remember they gave you 7 minutes. I finished in 4. That's how fucking bad
you finish
bad
early.
It was.
I bombed so hard at that Sacramento club. Not the punchline, the other
LOL.
One.
Was laugh it out loud.
Laugh out loud club.
Yeah.
That they have a feature. They had a digital clock. There's like 12, like a counter, you know, stopwatch, and it counts up. And they wanted you to do 25, which is not like most of the clubs are like do 20. I was bombing so hard, like it was. I mean, I was pouring sweat, like pouring sweat. God. Silence. Everything was
God.
People were like, oh man. And I just got off at 22. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, I mean, it was so hard to get there. And the first thing she said, she goes, I thought you were supposed to be funny. And I was like, whew.
Oh,
and then
dude.
She goes, it's 25. You don't have 3 more minutes of that shit? And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, yeah, I'll do it later. And I go back on the second show and I bomb even fucking harder.
Wow.
It was the back to back. I'd never had back to back bombs. And back that was the, it, I actually went to the hotel that night and I had never been, I've probably been doing stand up like 5 years, I think.
Who'd you call?
No, maybe less. I think I talked to you that night.
I remember
but
this.
I also was like writing down and I was like, the first time I was like, man, maybe I'm actually not good at this.
Right.
I hadn't had that thought really yet. I was like, maybe I'm not good at this. And then I was opening for Bert and the next day was Saturday. And again, the show, everything was packed, right? They just had, and I was about to go on. He goes, can I give you one piece of advice? And I go, sure. He goes, open with a different joke.
Right.
Because the two that I'd eaten shit with, I opened with the same joke.
Yeah.
That wasn't like a solid joke. I was just like trying it and it was not tasteful.
Yeah.
And so people were like, and I go, all right. And I opened with a different joke and had like great sets.
That's weird.
Yeah. I had great sets. Yeah. And then in keeping with the cunt that she was, I got off stage and I just walked up to her. She's like right there. And I go, and she was like, how'd it go? And I'm like, you fucking know how it went.
What
like, I killed. And she was like, oh, good. Maybe you made up for last night. And I was like, you fucking piece of shit. And she gave me our $500 check that bounced. And then she did it. Sent a second one that bounced. And then she finally sent a third check that
isn't that
cleared.
Weird, though, what is that one joke asshole. Made them not like you for 25 minutes?
It was wild.
Like, and psychologically?
And I think I was, you know, the truth is, in retrospect, first of all, it wasn't a great bit. I wasn't sophisticated enough or, like, experienced enough to handle that type of joke. I remember that it was 05, so yeah. It was about Katrina. Katrina had just hit, and I was doing a joke about the fact that there was reports that people were, like, I think, like, corpses or something, like having sex.
Yeah.
Like having sex. Having sex with corpses.
I'm trying to control you. Yeah. I don't know what type of
that's what
I
it was. They said people were fucking like corpses or something, or ripping people, even though there were corpses floating by.
I remember
by.
This.
That's what it was. And I was trying to be like role play with the bit. So I'd set it up and then I'd be like, oh, like there's a dead body. I feel like fucking right now. You know, like
that's pretty funny, dude. But it was, that's not an opener.
It's not an opener.
That's a ease them into some other shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to fuck a floating corpse.
I wanted to be like, you know, I think I was like, I can open with this. Yeah. I can get away with it. Because then I would go into my stuff that worked and it just, that was the mind fuck of it, is that I was going into like this stuff I've done at like all the improvs this year and it worked and I'm like, it's bombing. It is bombing.
Different. Yeah.
It was totally different.
It's a different, on the road is a different crowd than the comedy seller. They'll get stuff, then you go out on the road at a Funny Bone or wherever.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, what is that?
Dude? What is that?
Yeah, we live in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah. I bombed on TV. My first I did was it Car- remember Carson Daly?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Carson Daly, good guy, terrible show.
Yeah.
He would do he had no warm up for comics. He'd always have some, you know, alternative band that the kids came, like the Zip Titties.
God. Yeah.
Nobody heard about him, but all the Zip Titty fans came to see them.
Yeah.
And then he would do a long form interview with an actor, because those are exciting and fascinating. You know what I mean? Sam Rockwell. What else do you think of an hour and a half in, right?
Yeah.
And he had me on.
God, I'm getting diarrhea. Just like I fucking feel this coming.
I bomb so bad because they just bring you out after a long form interview. I go out and, hey, what's going on? They don't care about me. And I'm out there and I did this thing. You know, you're at the club with the mic.
Yeah.
And I have this thing that I do.
With the cord.
The timing or whatever. I have a cordless mic.
Hate it.
I start going like this. So I'm creating my little blanket. I'm just going like this. So the whole set, you can see my hand do this. And I come off after a bomb. Maddie's there. He goes, what the fuck was this?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm at the Comedy Cellar. They're airing it that night.
Oh,
I'm
God. Like,
it's on.
Oh, fuck your mom.
But there's no sound. So I'm fine. They just, you can't hear. There's too many people.
Okay, good.
And they got, but some bitch put the closed caption on. And I'm standing next to Steve Byrne. And all of a sudden, the first joke, the fucking twat wrote light laughter. Steve goes, you bombed, huh? And I was like, fuck. Even the chick.
The closed caption.
I just, guy stinks. He wrote light laughter through the whole thing. You just suck. I bombed. I did it again. Bombed again.
Oh, my God.
And I did this again.
No.
Yeah, you did.
I did this.
What do you mean you did it again?
I
did the show again.
Oh,
and I thought I was
going to
come back and redeem
the live
myself.
Show.
Dude, no way. Bombed again. Started doing this again. It was nuts. That's why I did the Tonight Show. I said I need a corded mic. And they were like, what? I haven't done this in 16 years. I go, dude. Because I don't want to.
I'm just like you.
Yeah.
I have a cord.
Every venue. It's in the rider cord.
Yep.
I don't give a shit. And they're like, are you sure? Sometimes you get there and the cordless is out. I'm like, what's that? And they're like, oh, were you serious? I'm like, yeah, dude. I don't fuck with those cordless mics.
They always malfunction.
They malfunction.
Every fucking time.
There's something about having that little.
Yeah.
I'm tethered to this. Like, I'm part of it.
Yeah.
And I can go over here. I can go over there. And I gotta manipulate it. It gives me timing. It makes me feel safe.
Yeah.
When I have that wireless mic. I
don't like it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm hosting something, like an auction or some wedding or something.
It feels like a formal event.
It's too big too. Like holding it, it's like just a big.
It's a dildo.
Yeah,
it's
a smaller dildo.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh my God, one time I was on a triple run, and I was featuring. And my headliner would crush. Did you ever do a triple run?
What is that?
That's
David
a West
Tribble.
Coast thing.
Oh, it's a West Coast thing. Yeah. You get in your car every day and you drive 10 hours
or 8 hours. It's slang for like a shit run.
It's a dog shit run. But it's usually like your first few gigs.
Not
like
clubs.
Hell gigs.
Or, like, you know, like in bars and hotels.
Yeah.
And
you're doing biker bars in like former Klan towns in Medford, Oregon. And just,
former?
I mean, literally, Medford is a former Klan town. Really? And I remember I was talking to the cook in the back and he's like, the Klan used to run this. Anyway, I thought I was being clever and I was like, what do you guys like to do for fun besides drag minorities behind your trucks? Boom, bottle at my head.
Really?
And then I got pulled. I just ate shit. I didn't know what to do. That's not even the worst of it. So then later on that run, did I mention my headliner was killing every night? She was just crushing, which is even worse. Just like singing, you know, dirty little ditties, dirty songs. And these bar crowds would just, man, she'd get like standing ovations. And here I am. I'm all like trying to be clever and stuff. And we're in this biker bar, a legit biker bar in Idaho somewhere. And I'm trying to do my clever shit.
Yeah.
Like fucking try to do like philosophy jokes and like I'm like such a fucking douchebag and I just eat it so hard. And then you go in the, I remember being in the alleyway calling my stepsister and being like, I think I gotta quit. Like I think this is the worst day of my life. And just like crying, you know, like just drinking and crying.
Well, that's the thing is like as soon as we bomb,
this is the worst feeling.
You gotta call another comic and you have to announce it before it's announced.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta get to them. Before they get to you. Like,
totally.
You can't have like Jim Norton go, dude, you hear about Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need. They need to go. I call me.
I
call five people. Yeah. As soon as I bomb, I'm like, hey, Colin, what's up? I just took a hot one, dude. Hot one. Yeah. Really? Where? Yeah. I call them all. Yeah. It's a rule.
You have to announce it.
Yeah, because
the shame kind of goes away to a degree if you've been honest about it.
If you've been honest about it, yeah. It's a bombing is a painful. But a necessity.
Because
you need it, because then there's nothing, you know, to go out in front of your fans and they're all there to see you.
Yeah.
Is the most creative you'll ever be.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's when the chains are off you.
Yeah.
When you go to a club and, you know, they gave away 50 tickets to some whoever, you're still kind of shattered. There's still that fear of, they don't give a shit about me, you know, which I love. That's why I love clubs, because you have to, you know, take them and go, now you're, I'm going to make you like me. You're going to laugh.
Yeah.
Even though you don't give a shit about me, you're going to laugh. But there's nothing better than when you show up and it's just your fan. Slow down. There's something happens.
Yeah.
You know, where you slow down.
Being able to go slow is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I go fast because it's just like a comic Boston thing.
Yeah.
I just like to grab them by the throat and hold them until I'm done. But I used to go faster, but I had to, you know, as I aged, I'm like, I can't sweat.
Yeah.
I can't be physical every show.
Yeah,
no. I can't be going, wow, running across. I can't do that anymore. Yeah. I had to slow down. That's why, like, when I lived in LA for 2 years, and it was the worst comic time of my life. Cause I think it was when the Laugh Factory was popping the store wasn't good at that time.
Yeah.
It was kind of dark and, you know, crazy. And I was there for 2 years. I remember Patrice came out there, stayed at my house. And I was cooking him. I cooked chicken. I was barbecuing chicken. And I said to him, he's like, Bobby, he took a bite. And he goes, you got to leave. I'm like, what? He goes, you need to move back to New York. Right the fuck now. I'm not kidding. You need to get you need to get out of LA now. I'm like, why? He goes, this is the best barbecue chicken I've ever eaten in my life. You became a cook.
Oh, wow.
You're not a comic anymore. You're a good cook. And I moved a month later.
Wow.
I told my wife now, my girlfriend then, I got to go. You can come with me, but I'm out. Because it's exactly what happened, is I just didn't go to clubs, I didn't get spots.
Yeah.
And I was
working on your chicken.
I was working on chicken. It was 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 1 minute. You know, basted it every time. I made the best barbecue chicken, dude.
Yeah.
I had a perfection. Yeah, it was crazy.
Dude, speaking of that and the fact that you said it from when you shot the special, you're down a lot, man. You look good.
Yes.
I got the gastric sleeve.
But I mean,
wow.
But I did. It was it's been, I think, 4 months.
That's it?
What?
4 or 5, maybe 5 months. Yeah. Well, I was going to die, dude.
Oof.
I mean, it was getting to that point. It was going to be a wrap. I was one of the fattest dudes in comedy, you know? John Panette died, Ralphie died, so I slid right the fuck in.
We got to get Bert the same fucking procedure.
Well, Bert's not.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
No, Bert. I mean, I'm not that guy anymore. Let's put it that way. You earnestly said, please do not stick up for him. That was like my wife. When she gets into a fight with the Starbucks lady, you do not take her side.
Yeah, exactly.
You do not. You are on my side.
Exactly.
Yes. It was weird. It was, I couldn't do it. You know, weight is I've been a addict my whole life, and food.
And you've been up and down. Because here's my recollection. Do you know when I met you?
No.
You probably don't remember.
No.
It was, do you remember your weights each year?
I remember I was.
Do you remember like your good weight years?
Oh, yeah.
Was 2011 a good weight year?
It was, I think it was coming off. I was in one going to my 6 fat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
2011 when I was going to my 6 fat.
I met you in 2011 in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I was good.
I know.
That was my fourth skinny. I got shredded. I mean, that's when I was.
I remember.
Yeah, dude, I remember because when I got into comedy, I was sexy. They said, and then when I moved to LA, I got fat. They said, Bobby, was it Patrice said, Bobby went, there you go. That was New York when I first went to New York. There's many variations of me. There's,
dude, I'm the same.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, that's Indian Bobby right there. That's sexy Bobby up there. That's that's romantic rom-com Bobby with the guy on my shoulder.
Oh my God!
Or that's a movie I did last night at Eddie's where I played the romantic lead.
That's you?
Yeah,
that's me. Stop
it. Swear to God, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. It's a rom-com. It's hilarious. That's my beautiful wife. There's Puerto Rican Bobby over there.
Holy shit. Yeah. That feels like kind of like when I met you.
That is when you met me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And the one up top, too, was right around there. Yeah. When I moved to New York, I was, sexy.
I even remember what you said when I met you.
What?
You had like a really large face watch on.
Yeah.
And I go, that's a big watch. And you go, it's just like my cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was lying. Yeah. Yeah. I did not have a big face cock.
I remember that.
That was a fucking lie. But 100%. I'm sorry. I should have went the other way. Not like my cock. But
yeah.
That was weird. Yeah. I got into shape because I got fat. Because Patrice said I went to LA a sexy Italian. I came back a fat Mexican. And it was true. I gained a lot of weight when I. Yeah. But then I got in shape again, really worked hard. And then 2013, I had my kid. And when I had the kid, dude, it just, I don't know what it was, man. It was, it's my first addiction. You know, I've been sober for 37 years off of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, all the other underlying causes and stuff like that I got rid of.
Food is so seductive, though.
Food is the one thing that you can do where you know people care, but they don't. They just don't care. You know, they do, hey, man, but that's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
If you're on heroin, they'll do an intervention at a Holiday Inn Express with everybody and write letters and I love, you know. When you're fat, it's like, that's on you. You can do something about that. You know what I mean? Supposedly, but it's not. It's hard for me. And this one was the hardest because I was older. I couldn't, I would lose 30 and gain it. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it. I all that inspirational stuff I'd watch and I just get bigger and I was getting bigger and I couldn't do it. And then I have a friend of mine, Arpan, who's at my cigar club. Member of the cigar club up in Westchester. And he wound up being a doctor, a gastro doctor who does these surgeries. And I was like, you know, this is if I do this, because you think it's quitting, you think it's the easy way. It's really not. It's
I don't think it's quitting at all.
Not you guys, but it's other terrible people. That's what you think in your head, right?
Oh, okay.
I'm a man. I gotta go and pick something up and just do it. Just, you know, you watch inspirational things. Get out of bed. Wake up at 4.
Yeah.
Wake up at 3:30.
Get after it. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I believe in that. Absolutely. But it doesn't work on me. You know? Like Ari said, well, you want me to shame you into, I was like, that doesn't work.
No.
If you do that, I'm going to punch you in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, okay. You know? But I was like, I went to rehab 37 years ago. To get away from the people, places, and things, to take myself out. I can't go to rehab for this, but my stomach can.
Yeah.
I put a governor on, so it's gonna take me out of the mix. I can't eat a lot. I can't do that stuff. So I'm in like rehab.
Plus you've been active too.
You have to be. Yeah. That's the one thing. People think you get this. You have to move the night you get this. You have to start walking that night.
That night.
That night you have to go out of bed and start walking. The next day you walk again. By the end of the week, I was walking around the block. It was all walking. Because I'm like the fountain of youth. Everybody you listen to, the fountain of youth is movement, exercise. Yeah. Everybody says that.
Yeah.
People live to 100 because they were in their garden. They had a walk. They didn't have a car. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't have to go and do all this crazy. I can just go walk. That's all I did. Walk. And then I started lifting weights because I didn't want the tits of my grandmother.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I started lifting weights. So it's been a lot. It's not for everybody. It really isn't.
No.
But if it is for you, and I wasn't going to tell anybody either, because, you know, I didn't want to get, I was like, yeah, it's my business. Just keep it. But I felt like I'm lying as a comedian. If I don't, I want to talk about it. Yeah, I want to probably do jokes about it. I want, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, I felt like if I don't talk about it, and there's a ton of people that have, I can't tell you, comics, fans that have, dude, I'm thinking of doing it. Or I did it. There's so many people that did it. It's like being gay. Like I came out of the closet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I walked up to you, dude, I got the surgery. You're like, okay, I didn't even ask.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm gay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the next
thing. You're surprised by how supportive everybody is.
Yeah, it's the same thing, man. It's like coming out of the closet as a chubby and people are like, dude, thank you so much. Like so many guys and so many girls have already contacted me about, dude, I'm thinking of doing it. And that's why I'm glad I did it. And, God. You know, I get to talk about it on stage. I just didn't want to lie about
it. That's the best part is that your fans know, people know, and then it's just like an easy transition into bringing it up on stage and you'll feel comfortable.
You know,
it'll be good.
That's true. I hate when people like lie about stuff, especially when women or actresses lie about having work done on
work
their faces.
Done is like
what's
most common.
Shame now? Yeah. Who fucking cares? Is anybody?
Nobody gives a shit. I mean, just
no one really cares.
I mean, we're gonna make fun of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get made fun of. I've already been made fun of.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what?
Exactly. You're gonna get made fun of, but in reality, good for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, granted, there is a difference between, you know, getting an eyebrow lift and I was gonna die and lose a foot.
There's a little
difference. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. But it was my kid too. I have a 9-year-old. It's like me and him, like he has a family. He has a mom and a dad. We get this solid unit that I never had and he has it and I'm gonna take it away from him because I like pizza.
Yeah.
Because I'm a lonely fatso on the road, putting a towel over my naked stomach and eating Chinese food, lying down. Really? That was fun though.
But yeah.
It was like, I'm out. I'm not doing it.
But you did that. I mean, did you have a moment or was it the cigar lounge with the doc?
I had a moment where I just love my kid so much.
Yeah.
I love my wife too. Like I just love what I got so much. And you only get a certain amount of time where shit is going to go south beyond your control.
Sure.
I'm like, I can control that. You know what I mean? I can be with these people. And it sucked because, you know, I couldn't go on rides. We went to Busch Gardens and, you know, I'd have to sit off to the side and take the video while him and my wife went on.
Yeah.
And he loves his mom, but you want to do scary shit with your dad.
Yeah.
Like we went snow tubing and, you know, I went down like 900 miles an hour faster than everybody else. I swear to God, I got video, dude. I went past the snow and I hit the dirt.
Yeah.
And I flew in the air and I broke both of my ribs.
For real?
100%. It's a joke in my hour. It's in my hour. Broke both of my ribs and because I was just lying there and like I had to crawl up. My kid ran over, dad. And I was like, what's up? And I was like, Don, I'm just gonna go over here. You guys go up again. First run, first thing, we planned this weekend for months. And then the guy's like, are you all right? I'm like, no, I need an ambulance or something. He's like, I'm calling an ambulance now. I go, have him pick me up behind the house because I don't want my kid to see me.
Yeah,
and I'm really in pain. And so I go, I'll be right back. And I'm just walking behind this house with this man, which might be a worst image for him. Dad's blowing a guy at the mic. You know what I mean? After I thought about it, this is probably bad. So I think my dad.
Yeah, he just left with this guy
to pay for the ski trip. But I remember I went to the hospital, and it was like in the middle of nowhere, and they're having a blast, and you know, I'm in this hospital, and it was dingy hospital. They had the wrong neck brace on, so it just came up over my ears
because
they didn't have my size. And I just looked like Darth Vader, just, you know. And then they come up. They're like, all right, we're going to send you back. Do you want Tony, who, if he started drinking, it might be too late? Or you want Kathy, who, if she took her medication, it might be rough, too. And she drinks.
Oh, my God.
She drinks. And I'm like, I'll take Kathy, I guess.
Yeah.
And I took Kathy. We stopped 3 times for scratch tickets on the way back to the hotel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a crazy.
And wait, I want to go back to something. You have this on video?
I have it. It's on. Yeah, I have it on video. I'll send it to you.
Please.
Yeah, it's on video. You can. My wife was taking it. You see me. It's on my Instagram.
Oh, it is?
Oh, let's see it.
Scroll down. But yeah, it was a tough thing, man. Like that type of shit, you know, because of my weight, you know, I mean, even running down the street. We would always run from down the street to the house. You go, Dad, let's go. And I would lose legitimately every time. I think it was 3 weeks ago. I go, let's go. And we ran and I smoked that little bitch.
Good.
The way a father should.
Right. Yeah.
I should smoke him.
Yeah.
I should be able to just be like, yeah, not yet, kid.
Not yet.
Not yet. You know, so that's why that was the moment for me. And I really, I was like, you know, I don't care, you know, whatever people can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
of course. And well, you're healthy and you're getting healthier. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, the special, I'm a fat, it's going to be weird. You watch me now and then you see the special.
Yeah.
I am a tub of pudding on that show. Yeah.
Well,
I look like Fat Elvis, like at the end. So,
the other thing we were talking about on the way in today is how fucking amazing you are as an actor.
Yes.
You're a really good actor. And I remember the first time that you were on one of the early episodes in Louis on his FX show. Mm-hmm. And usually when like another comic appears on screen, you're like, oh, like you're kind of excited because every time I like see a comedian's in, you know, you it's somebody who's, even if you don't know him well, you're like, it's somebody in like the fraternity of comedians. And a lot of times you see them and you're like, ah, damn, like he's not a good actor though. Like right away you're like,
yeah, shit. Yeah, it makes you sad.
It kind of makes you sad that he didn't kill it. You're like, but you're like, you are a really good actor.
Yeah,
like,
thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I mean, really good. Like, Jesus, and I remember seeing it on the show the first time. I was like, oh, like were you trained?
I saw a guy back when I started comedy. I quit comedy. Like it was me, Burr, Dane, Gallman, Patrice. You know, that was like my class coming up and we were doing comedy together. And then I quit to go act. I got like a film and I got Peter Kelly. He, you know, taught a bunch. He was like the top acting teacher in Boston. Really just an amazing guy. And he taught classes at his house, at his apartment. And he handpicked his students. It's called the Harrison Project. And I saw him one night. I'm like, I want to be in your class. He's like, okay. And he brought me in and you just went in. It was a small group, like 10 people of the best actors in Boston. And he would just give you scenes and you would work on acting. And then I got a movie and then I got another movie. And then I got I did an Four Dogs and a Bone off Broadway play in Boston. I got really into acting for a couple years. I got out of comedy and they were all doing it. And that sucked. I had to go after that. I went back like that disease.
Yeah.
It's like in you. It's like, I gotta go do it. And I went in and I remember they wouldn't let me on stage. All these like open micers were passed beyond me. And I'm just sitting like Dane's killing Patrice. And I'm just sitting in the back. And finally I got back, like someone gave me a shot and I got my place back. And I did acting back then. I love acting. I there's something different about it.
Yeah, I mean, it comes through that you really put something into it. I mean, and also you know what it is like, thing about watching, I think, when you watch actors, especially if you know them from stand-up, is that you ask yourself right away, like, do I believe them? You know, do I believe what they're doing right now? Because a lot of times you see something and you go like, oh, I'm not part. It's just like it's something internally goes, I don't buy this.
Yeah,
I don't buy that.
I think it's from, believe it or not, it's from being in juvie hall and foster homes. Yeah, I think instinctually to survive back in the day, I had to become other people. You know what I mean? And you had to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you had to pretend to be happy. You had to, you know, really instinctually, you know, not be scared. You had, you know, all this crazy stuff as a kid, So when they were like, you know, when you go in, you get, I can do that. It was instinctually sure. already taught myself to survive back in the day. And, you know, I kind of carried it over. Plus Peter and Louis, another one, man, who he sees in you what you can do and then gives you that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because I saw you also in that movie with the Joe List movie.
Oh, yeah. The 4th of July.
Yeah, and you were great in that. You're great in it.
Yeah. He's like, again, he'll come up to me. I want you to do this. And he'll let me do my thing. Like,
sure.
Like, I know how I'm going to walk across the street. He gives you this little thing, bang, bang, bang. And then you'll get, okay, I got it. You know, yeah. And lets you do your thing. And, you know, that's why I love working with him. He knows what you're good at, and he allows you to get there. Yeah, yeah, and he'll help you get there, too.
Yeah, we still bring up Bang Bang.
Bang Bang.
We're going to do Bang Bang.
I'm such a fat bastard. I actually did one that day.
You did?
Yeah, because we did.
I was going to ask you, did you?
For people that don't know, it's an episode of Louis where you're playing his brother, I believe,
I'm
right?
His brother.
His brother, and you're like, let's go have Chinese or something. And then
Indian and diner.
And you're like. And you're like, yeah, it's a bang bang.
You know? Or Italian, yeah.
You have a meal and then you have another meal.
It's when you're going to get into shape.
Yeah.
Fat people know. It's a bang. You have a full meal and then you go right and directly have another full meal. Yeah. And the day we were on set, we're reading, I go, you know this is going to become a thing. Like, you're going to murder a lot of fat dudes with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of fat dudes going to die. You know, he's like, yeah, I know. It's going to become a thing. Yeah. And we did it.
That's so funny.
We went to it. He shot that Indian scene. It's a live restaurant. There's people eating. And he goes, just give me everything. And he goes, I don't know how, whatever, angles, French angles. I don't know, some, you know, fantastic, weird stuff that only Louis knows because he's a genius.
Yeah.
They shot the cameras on him and me with it. You know? We were eating. Like, we were legit. We were eating. There was one point where I had sauce, this hot sauce, and I just took the bread and I used it as a napkin. And I just ate the bread. And then there was a point where Lou goes, all right, we cut, because he was done. Then we broke for lunch, right?
Oh, shit.
So I'm like, all right, I'm in, right? And then we went to the other place, and I was eating so much on these takes that the props guy came in and goes, dude, I got one more cutlet left. Slow down. I was like, okay. Because you're not supposed to eat the food.
Right,
never,
right.
Never.
Do you want to spit it out? I was like, no, this is great. I've never spit out food in a food scene.
We found the tubing thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
yeah. Okay.
There he is with the circle. So
just a little background story. Yeah. Do you ever see that amusement park documentary? Adventure Park? Where
I think
people were dying?
Yes. Yeah.
It's in Jersey.
Yeah, I think I remember this.
Okay. Yeah. They made a park with human were dying. They were just getting killed.
Yes.
That's this place. But in the winter. Okay.
Got you.
But I mean, it's not that place anymore, but this is that exact place.
So obviously the circle is you.
Now, it rained the night before, so this is not snow.
Oh, shit.
This is ice.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And there's another level up top. Like, see that rubber mat that they drag you up to the top? My wife and kid went down before me. Now it's my turn to go down. I'm in my head going, this is ice. This is going to be bad. I don't fit in the tube because I'm so big. I don't fit. I'm just lying on the tube. So there's no, like, I'm not in it. Like,
yeah.
I can't. I started spinning violently. Like physics just took over.
Sure.
Immediately. And I had no control. So this is my wife taking the,
okay.
I believe that's my kid right there. This is my wife taking the video. So there's
Let's go.
I'm just passing everybody.
Yeah.
And then I hit these mats, these are doormats. And then I hit some boom.
Ooh.
Now see the guy, the fat dude next to me, see he took the balloon away from me.
Oh, he did.
Oh, shit.
Because he just barely got there before
He just barely got there. Look, watch this. I hit the dirt. Yep, my tube was like, I'm out. There's my ribs right on that solid angle. I just smashed it. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it's like on a,
there's my rib
right
there.
Edge there.
No tube, boom, broke both my ribs.
By the way, what rib injuries, people always say, there's nothing you can do, right? They're just like,
no, there's nothing. You just
rest.
You have to take it. You just take it. And this place was like, you didn't break your rib. And then I went and got them checked again. It was so broken. Oh, no, this place. Yeah, I didn't even think the X-ray machine works.
But here's a stupid idea.
They use a stud finder to see if I was.
Yeah. Do they straighten the rib out?
No, they can't.
They do
so then what do? You literally just have a broken rib now?
No, they give you. they give you a chest bra.
Yeah.
But my tits were so big, I look like the king's daughter, like the fat, you know. So I put it on in my tits. I just like
cleaved like a fat titted woman.
Yeah, I just like, yeah, from like, you know, from
the medieval.
Yeah, the medieval. I was just terrible. So I had it on. My wife was like, you can't wear that.
The king's least desirable daughter. Yeah.
You can marry my daughter. Hello. You
know, it was like, oh my God.
It was made my tits too
take
big.
Take your girdle.
So I had to take it off. You had a girdle. It was a chest girdle or something like that.
Oh my God. That's so good.
It was terrible, man.
That's
so good. It was terrible.
That's horrible. That was bad. Jesus Christ. Oh, I was going to ask you, was it your apartment? Because Louis was in here, where you had an apartment where the light was on the timer.
Oh, that was an episode, one of the last scenes we shot, where I finally got him to come to my house.
But I thought that story was based on you in real life, or no, that was based on his brother in real life.
No, he has no brother. The reason why he wrote the part for me, because he always wanted a brother.
Oh.
And he wrote it was a little part, but it was so good, he liked it, that he kept writing me. I was one of the only regulars, if there were any, because if you went to the website, Louis's show, it was just him as a cast. Because there was no other regular, but he kept writing me back in because he liked our thing together. And that was when he went to my apartment. I was like, come up. And he was like, I'm good. And I'm like... It's very much like our real life too. Come over. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'll just see you. But that was in the thing where I had it on a timer. it was so funny because we had this scene and we ran it. I don't know, when you act, you know you got it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you're just in it. And we were in it. We were in it. Like it was, the scene was going like, wow. Like you just felt it. And we're having this moment. And then the sound guy goes, I got to cut. I got to cut. I ran out of battery right in the middle of the scene. It sucked. But Louis's like, are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, we had it. He goes, that was great. But it was terrible. Yeah, it sucked. But he got some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why I love Louis. Like, you do that show. I go, what do I wear? You wore those were all my clothes. You didn't have.
Yeah.
There's no wardrobe. There was no makeup. Like one day I had a zit on my face. It looked like a tumor. He's like, yeah, leave it. People have zits. I mean, he didn't give a shit. I showed up one time. They had me in kabuki makeup. And then they broke for lunch. And there's no trailers on Louis. So I'm on the streets of New York on a walkaway lunch. I was starving. So I went to an English restaurant. I got an English breakfast. Like just beans, sausage, blood sausage. And I'm sitting there in kabuki makeup. Just eating
sausage.
Eating my sausages. And then I walk out and Ed Burns and Tom Hanks walk out of a restaurant and they're right there like, hey, what's going on with you? And I'm like, oh, exactly. Thank you, God. Yeah.
I'm on set. You can't tell? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, like, if you have not yet seen Killbox, if we have not yet encouraged you, you need to go to louisck.com and see Robert Kelly's new special, Killbox, available right now. Thank you for coming, dude.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys are so very fast. Therapeutic.
Good.
Aww. Dude, this feel, you guys, I mean, you guys, this was fast.
Oh, yeah. This is, I mean, we did over that an hour.
Was,
yeah.
That was great, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Come back again then.
Yeah. I'll fly. You guys are the best.
Oh, dude, aww. This was a blast.
It was so nice having you.
Will you guys be my parents?
Yeah.
Oh, love it.
You're the type of guest that we dream about, honestly, where we can just like bring something up and you tell good stories and you're engaging and like,
and no, honest, this is fun, truthful.
Man. You guys are the best. Thank you for having me on. Yeah,
best.
You guys are great, man.
No, we're super thrilled. And seriously, congratulations on the special.
Yes, congrats. Awesome.
Appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Jeans. Touch my camera through the fence. Touch my camera through the fence, you faggot. Touch my camera through the fence. Touch my camera through the fence, you faggot. Donald Peterson didn't follow proto. This is America. What's up there, Chomo? Donald Peterson didn't follow proto. This is America. What's up there, Chomo? You guys are messing with a celebrity smoker. Father and motherfuckers. Head smoker. What's your name anyways? You know who you're talking to? Mr. Peterson. You got it, bitch. Wish I could have fucked you under the tree instead of on the curb last night. You just lost your life. Got your brain on fire. Okay? Ta-ta there, retard. Donald Peterson didn't follow proto. This
This is America.
What's up there, Chomo?
Donald
Peterson didn't follow Proto.
This is America.
What's up there, Chomo?
You know what Call is?
Yeah, I take cops' badges all the time doing it. You know who you're talking to? A retired double agent there, you fucking retard. Well, you know what? You're fired, bud. You just lost your life, okay, as far as your job goes. Ta-ta there, retard.